Thank you. Again, we come to you with studies in the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatian church, which had come into a very, very sad position and experience, having turned from the sufficiency of Christ to becoming legalistic, keeping the law of Moses as a means of being holy or of keeping their salvation. We are dealing with the first 11 verses of the 5th chapter. And I would like to read those 11 verses this morning, or today, where Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. But I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified, saved by the law. You are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased." I have taken the time to read these 11 verses because in them we have seven things concerning the law as a rule of life. The result, can I put it this way? The result of being under the law as a rule of life in these first 11 verses, and we have seven things. I've already taken up three or four of them with you. I repeat them in the first verse, to put yourself under the law as a rule of life brings you into bondage. In the second verse, it ruins the grace of God. Christ profits you nothing. In verse 3, the third thing, you are a debtor to do the whole law. The whole law, not part of it. Not 9/10 of it, but the whole law. And by the way, when you speak in verse 3 about the whole law, he's not only dealing with a ceremonial law, he's also dealing with a moral law. I'm talking about the law of Moses includes not only the moral law, but also the Levitical law, the ceremonial law, the ordinances that go with it. And then in verse 4, we are fallen from grace. Yes, I believe that a person can fall from grace. It's not the man who manifests frailty in the flesh or fails God in his life that falls from grace. That's the man who needs the grace of God. And certainly using a club on him is not going to make him behave himself, nor will it cleanse him from his frailty and from his sin. The grace of God is the only thing that God has given to us for salvation and to keep our salvation. And if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. The law offers us nothing. I know I want to get this into your heart, because I know I'm talking to a great many people who have been, shall I say, untaught or are ignorant of the fact that Christ is an all-sufficient, perfect Savior. And to go back to the law of Moses, the whole law. And my friend, listen, you can't go to part of it and leave the rest. There are those who say that when Christ died, he fulfilled the ceremonial law and the ordinances of the old law. But the moral law goes on. The Ten Commandments belong to the Mosaic economy. I'm well aware of the fact that when you come to your epistles, some of them are repeated in exhortation, not to keep saved, not to make you good. But we do these things, or we do not do them, depending on what it is, because we love the Savior and because of the indwelling Spirit. But it's the self-righteous man who's trusting his own works. This is the man who falls from grace. This is the man who doesn't need Christ. This man doesn't need anything but himself, and Christ hence profits him nothing. Again, I suggest, it is the legalist who falls from grace, and Christ is of no effect unto them. And then you have the fifth thing, in verses 5-6, the result of being under the law destroys our hope, in verses 5-6. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Will you mark verses 5 and 6? You're never sure of the future. Never sure. If the Lord Jesus should come today for his own people, would you go up to meet the Lord in the air, according to Thessalonians chapter 4? You remember in Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, especially verse 17, when it says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Our Lord says, "And now that ye think not he's going to come." Now, will you go up when the Lord comes? Or do you have to stop and find out where you are? Are you good enough, you're going to say? You'd say, "I'll go up if I've done the right things." No. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, I read, "It's the good hope through grace." You see, the man under grace, the person who believes in the all-sufficiency of Christ's work for us, not only his work on the cross, but his work at the throne of grace for us now. We're sure, we're confident by the Spirit. We wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. It's what we're waiting for, is the coming of the Lord. Well, don't you have any doubts at all? No doubts at all. No fear. No question mark. I'm just as sure as Christ was raised from the dead. At the moment the Lord Jesus comes for his own, I'm going to be with God's people. Not on the ground of what I am or what I have done or expect to do, but entirely and completely on the ground that the Lord Jesus Christ is a sufficient Savior for time and for eternity. Remember, he is not going back to the cross. He died once for us. And now we should live for him. And then in verses 7-10, the sixth thing, the result of being under the law hinders our progress. The Apostle Paul says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is." You did run well. You are really running well. What's hindered you from obeying the truth? What's robbed you of your vision of Christ? What's turned you from Christ to yourselves? "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. May I say in the Bible, I think I should say this here, that leaven is corruption. People talk about the leaven of the gospel. There's no leaven in the gospel. The gospel is pure. The gospel is from God. There's no leaven in the gospel. Leaven speaks of corruption in Scripture. If you go back to your Old Testament, before they had the Passover, every house must be cleared of its leaven. You take in the New Testament, Christ warns us against the leaven of the Pharisees. Paul warns us against the leaven of the Corinthians. And one could go on and follow through in this question of leaven. Leaven is corruption. And there had these Judaizers from Jerusalem had come in, and it robbed these Christians of their joy. You did run well. You had real hope. Now you're full of uncertainty. Now you have no joy. Now you have no expectancy of the coming of the Lord. You're occupied with yourselves. You're occupied trying to keep the law. You're full of self. And if you do do any good, it's self-righteousness. You've missed the joy of a life lived in Christ. And you've missed the joy of the Spirit of God living out our Lord's life in and through you. You see, having come under this legalistic code as Christians, they'd lost all their joy and had even lost their hope. And as he said here, it hinders our progress. Instead of us growing in the grace of God, growing in service, growing in worship and praise to God, we're hindered. We become occupied with ourselves. And will you tell me, my friend, did you ever see a legalist occupied with Christ? No. They're always occupied with themselves or occupied with somebody else. And generally, when they're occupied with somebody else, it's in a critical attitude. This is the attitude of a legalist. Thank God we have an all-sufficient Savior who is sufficient for me today, and He will be sufficient for me tomorrow, irrespective of circumstances. Even of our frailty, irrespective of the whole thing, I want to tell you, my friends, Christ is all you need. All you need is found in Christ. I wish in some way you could see Him in His beauty, in His righteousness, in the sufficiency of His work at the cross, guaranteed by resurrection, and the sufficiency of our Lord's work today in heaven. What do you think the Lord's doing in heaven for you now? He's praying for you. He's praying for you. He's keeping you. And He wants to live out His life through you. And all He wants you to do, me to do, is to yield ourselves unreservedly to Him so that His purpose will be wrought out in us. Now may the Lord bless you today, and may your joy and your hope just flood your heart and your mind for His name's sake.